Introducing the all-new 2023 Ford Bronco Sport, now available at Jim K. Ford. With its rugged design and off-road capabilities, this SUV is built for adventure. Whether you're heading off the beaten path or just cruising around town, the Bronco Sport delivers performance, comfort, and style. With four-wheel drive, terrain management system, and advanced safety technology, you can take on any road with confidence. Adventure awaits at 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans or jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
The Steve Warren Project. Sports and whatever.
Okay, well, that was easy. Just jumped right on the air, no trouble at all. Some days the internet is not our friend. It is Steve Warren along with Jim Jerome. I'm in Ottawa, he's in Edmonton. And another episode of the SWP coming up today. We've got the NHL regular season beginning anew. The 2023-24 season fires up on Tuesday. My Senators, it gets going on Wednesday. It won't get going for quite some time for the Toronto Blue Jays, who did not have a very good playoff run. I don't even know if you can call it a run. They didn't get many runs, I'll say that. So they're done, and lots more coming up on the show. James, how are you today?
I'm okay, Stevie. Yeah, I'm okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Are you excited about the NHL season starting up anew, or are you in the mode of, oh my God, the last one just ended?
No. I love it, particularly if you live in Edmonton, because for the last two or three years, every year they call them a Stanley, not a playoff contender, a Stanley Cup contender.
They certainly are this year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, the city's a buzz, Stevie. The city's a buzz. So, yes. Yes, Sam.
I would watch. I haven't been paying much attention to the Oilers. I read a bit of, you know, preseason preview stuff, and I saw about a period of one game. And one guy, I mean, God, as soon as I say this, he's probably been injured in the last couple of games or something like that. But I think if Connor Brown can stay healthy, he missed most of last year with a knee injury. He was here in Ottawa for a couple of years. That is a guy that is a guy to watch because he can skate all day, gets lots of chances for himself. And if he's going to get to play with Connor McDavid, his old junior teammate from back in Erie, and they both lit it up back then, that could be, if you're one of those fantasy hockey folks, or if you're just a fan of the Edmonton Oilers. And you may know this already, but Connor Brown, I think, is a guy to watch because he has a real chance to maybe double his career best in points. You play with Connor McDavid, that's going to help your game a little bit.
Yeah.
But they Connor Brown.
They got to figure out the goaltending sitch.
Mm-hmm.
It's Campbell and Skinner. Both had, you know, streaks of greatness. Both had a little, you know, some diciness. And the problem is the Oilers are, when they go bad, they're losing hockey games, but scoring six goals.
Right.
You know, scoring five goals, six goals.
I'm all about the goals. Give me the 1980s level of hockey, and that's all good. Here in Ottawa, Josh Norris, still not right. I mean, the Josh Norris story, this is a guy that was acquired, Jimmy, in the San Jose Sharks deal for Erik Karlsson. So Josh Norris rolls into town, and I think it was like, I don't know, but 2 months after the Erik Karlsson trade, Josh Norris gets a shoulder injury at the World Juniors. Damn it. Okay. And then he comes back and he plays, his first year was very good. And at the end of that year, he hurt his shoulder again and then signed an 8-year contract worth $64 million. And then last year came back and hurt the shoulder again. Missed most of the year. And then this year, 8 months after he had shoulder surgery, his second shoulder surgery, he comes to preseason and all of a sudden they say, oh, he's not going to be ready for camp. He just tweaked his shoulder again. No, God, no. But don't worry. If the regular season were going to start in a few days, he'd be in there. Okay, great. Right. 8 preseason games come and go, and Josh Norris is not in the lineup. So very disappointing for the Sens, who I mean, there's a very good chance this guy could end up on long-term injured reserve. The silver lining in that, if it happens, is that then they can now afford to pay Shane Pinto, who's the only free agent left in the NHL. He, too, is a centerman who would be replacing Josh Norris, and they could use some of that LTIR money to actually get him re-signed.
Yeah. There's kind of a weird – I read the article, the little piece there you sent me this morning.
Yep.
kind of a weird comment from the coach. He's like, yeah, it's kind of like he was going, well, don't ask me. I thought he'd be back.
Right.
Did you get that sense?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they had to say something like that. Cause like I say, at the start of camp, he and Pierre Dorion were both nothing to see here, nothing to worry about. And I think a lot of people at that time, myself included, was like, whoa, whoa, that is a big red flag. They say this surgery is a 4 to 6 month window to recover from. This guy's had it 8 months now, and now you're telling me he tweaked it? That's a red flag. And then he proceeds to miss the entire preseason.
Yeah, it was just a weird comment. You know, normally a coach is on top of the make or break player, you know, on their team, right? Who's getting, and they would say, listen, he's under the care of doctors right now, and obviously there's you know, they're looking after things and trying to get him back down. But it's just like, yeah, fuck, I came in today and he wasn't here.
Right.
It's like, I don't know, are you communicating with the team? Are you talking to the doctors? You know, I need a little more, Steve. It sounded like almost like the guy was a holdout or something.
It does sound odd if you're dropping into the story at this point in time, but just given the fact that,
right,
you know, they'd already gone down the road of trying to project a timeline for when he might come back. And so really all they have at this stage is, I don't know.
Right.
And this has been an organization that's had this storyline play out again and again, not just with this player, but with Shane Pinto, who had a season ending shoulder injury 2 years ago. And they thought he was going to be able to come back, and he played a game and then got hurt again. Tyler Boucher is a first rounder from a couple of years ago. He went into camp. He had tweaked his shoulder, and they said, oh, he's not expected to miss camp. Well, he missed camp. He's skating, but he's not. They're having a hard time pinpointing timelines for some of these return to play situations. And so I think they're at a stage now. It's like, we're out of that business. We're not going to try and project when they come back. That's when they'll come back.
Right.
That's what we're giving you now. So anyway, it's an exciting time still. The Sens, like your Oilers, are certainly seen as a club that can do some potential damage this year. Now, about your Blue Jays, what the hell was that about? Since we last got together, the Blue Jays were 2-and-done in the playoffs. In the first round, they lose to the Minnesota Twins, and everybody's mad at the manager, John Schneider, for the early hook on Jose Berríos in game 2. Berríos looks like $1 million. He's got strut. He's got swagger. He's jumping off the mound after strikeouts, strutting back to the bench. Three innings in, they pull him from the game for Kikuchi. I think Blue Jay fans are fairly livid right now. Did you?
They're just trying to hook into something, you know?
I guess.
I like to go back, Steve. I like to go back to the beginning of the year, you know, that you know, it's like the terrible fan. You know, I'm a lowly Leaf fan. I'm a punished Leaf fan.
Right.
You know, and at the beginning of the year, I'm a Jays have done shit, you know, say two, I don't know. They've made the playoffs 3 out of the last, I think, 4 years. Right. And at the beginning of the year, Steve, I remember everyone going, you know, all I want, Steve, is to have a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's all athletes ever want, and fans. I just want to have a chance, you know? I just want to have a chance. So all I'm asking is that they make the playoffs.
Right.
That's all. Okay, fair enough. And if that's a stretch, you know, if I put a bunch of pressure on the team, then so be it. So now they did. And by the way, every team got wiped out in 2 games in that wild card round. They all lost 2 straight on those 4 series. Is it 4? I think, yeah, 4. They had to get down to 4 teams, I think. Yeah, something like that.
Let me get to the bracket here.
It was best out of 3, and they all lost the two straight, okay, each team. So, I don't know. I'm like, pipe down, okay, fuck it. Do we have to go through this every single year? Now you're going to go, well, here's the reason they didn't make it further is because the guy pulled a pitcher? Come on, Stevie. Where were you when he did – you know, good things and all. I just hate that take. I despise that take. I'd rather hear from someone going, you know, they were going to be in trouble with that draft pick, with, you know, a couple of injuries, shit like that. They had somebody, they couldn't decide on a good catcher, yada, 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 you know? or you know, they stop producing runs and shit like that. You know, I'll give that analysis some thumbs up. You know,
yeah.
But the stuff going, oh my god, what he did in the third inning there? With the, oh my fucking, they got
it
fired.
Well, I thought it was dumb. I'll say that. But did it cost them ultimately? We'll never know for sure unless you live in a parallel universe where Berríos stays in the game. Maybe the team, you know, even the batters, you know, have a little swagger and confidence because Berríos is dealing. I don't know. We'll never know for sure. I hated the move. It looked to me like they decided that based on analytics, it's time to make a change. I don't think anybody agreed with it at the time, even at a point when they didn't know what the ultimate result was going to be. I'm on social media and everybody's going bananas. Now, big picture, they didn't score. They didn't score runs. No matter what happened after that third inning, they just didn't score enough to win this series. And that's
right.
That's the bigger picture issue. And it can happen to any team, obviously. You play 162 to get there, and now your bats go cold for a couple of games. That can be it. But almost every Blue Jay fan who's gone wire to wire watching every game said, you know what? That series was pretty much a microcosm of what happened to the Blue Jays in this regular season.
Right, right. Akins, okay. You know, said that Schneider's coming back, but he kind of threw them under the bus, you know, when asked, you know, what do you think? Well, I was surprised that they did that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
I think it was controversial. Maybe.
Yeah. The quote was,
he didn't quite back them, you know, but he did say he's returning as manager Schneider.
Right. Like, I mean, I know that's a big discussion and a lot of people are pointing the fingers at the Blue Jays GM, Ross Atkins, that, you know, throwing him under the bus.
Sorry.
I think it's like, I look at it and I say, when did we get to a place where the GM is making pitching changes? Like, why is Atkins even being dragged into this thing? It's because of the analytics thing and some sort of preconceived plan. My feeling is, yeah, maybe that's happening. I'm not a fan of it, though. Like, if I'm an owner of a major league franchise, I'd say, let the manager do what he wants. And I don't know if it's Schneider's call ultimately all by himself 100% or if Atkins had a hand in it. I don't know. But like you said, it seemed like Atkins was throwing him under the bus a little bit. And but if it's my baseball team, I'd say, Atkins, you give him the players. And as far as Schneider goes, ultimately, you make the decision and don't rule out your gut, because I'm sure there's part of Schneider as a baseball man who looked at that situation and said, that doesn't feel right.
Right. Right.
Anyway, end of the line for the Blue Jays. Fare thee well, Blue Jays. Al Michaels. <Okay. laughs> Al Michaels in the news for the dumbest reason ever. Oh, I will say this. Al Michaels was one of my favorites for a long time, and I have nothing against him now. But I think he's lost his fastball a little bit as far as an NFL announcer. Just, I don't know, not being aware of the tone of games and kind of being, I don't know, it's almost like he's got a bet sometimes. Not saying he does. I don't want any lawsuits here. I know Al Michaels is a big fan of this show and everything, but it's almost like he's up, you know, a big touchdown. Everybody should be freaking out. And he's going, and there's a touchdown for the Giants.
Oh, yeah.
What? Right. What? Yeah.
Noticed that.
So I'm not where he's at right now, and he's gone for a long time. Like, he must be, what is he? Is he pushing 80 now?
100.
He's 100. He's 100 years old. He he drinks the blood of innocence. Anyway, I wanted to mention the fact, though, that he gave an interview this week with CNN, and he confirmed the longtime rumor about him that he has never in his life eaten a vegetable.
Hold on a minute. Repeat that?
He says he's never had a vegetable.
Oh, don't say it. Oh.
Despises it.
Once was bad enough. Oh, my God. No wonder he's making bad takes.
Yeah. So apparently never had a vegetable, not a carrot, not a broccoli, not a bit of lettuce. That's weird.
That's losing your fastball for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, and how constipated is he, I wonder? I wish I wasn't wondering that. No, that's weird.
Yeah.
It's really, really weird. No response to that one, huh?
Probably knocked off a few Caesars in his life.
Our show will continue in just a moment.
Introducing the future of driving with Ford electric vehicles now available at Jim K. Ford. Say goodbye to gas stations and hello to efficiency with electric power that delivers a smooth and silent ride. With advanced technology and smart features, you'll experience a whole new level of convenience and connectivity. And with Ford's commitment to sustainability, you'll also be doing your part for the planet. So come on down to Jim K. Ford today and test drive the future with Ford EVs or visit us online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
If you're looking to buy or sell your home, the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team can help. Glenn helped me sell a home a couple of years ago and did so much for us, including staging. He provided a great painter, a cleaner, and even bought new ceiling lights for us, all to make sure the home was looking its very best on picture day. All part of his services, and he can do the same for you. Visit Glenn today, glennwalton.com.
I'm losing my interest slightly in the golf world. Okay.
What?
I'm like, the Ryder Cup happened, right? The Americans got their ass kicked. You know, there was, you know, this Rory talking to Joe LaCava. He was in his way, you know, when he went to pot and all this shit. So they made a big deal out of that.
Yeah.
Brooks Koepka, you know, speaks his mind. He told, I think the other day, his latest was, you know, all you country club kids who are golfers, you can shut the fuck up. Okay, I don't care about you. So there's all these stories out there, and then the LIV thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the LIV and the PGA, and oh my God, will they merge? And listen to what these players are saying. And do some regret they didn't go? And dad, and now Xander Schauffele out of the LIV, his dad apparently, who's his agent, is you know, came out and said that he should have got, they should be getting money.
Mm-hmm.
They should be getting money. And then, you know, Patrick Cantlay, I'm not going to wear a hat because it doesn't fit. And we all know the reason he wasn't is some sort of protest. He's annoying. He's obnoxious, you know. And I'm just sick of it, Steve. I'm just sick of it because I keep all these stories, Steve, always, they interject into the story going, by the way, he signed for 130 mil.
Right.
You know, by the way, he made 12 million last year. In prize money.
Right.
Okay. And he makes another, you know, 20, 30 million a year in endorsements, you know?
Right.
And so I'm going, shut up. Okay. I don't care. You know, it's like you're living in the best times ever with golf. You know, this thing comes along with Greg Norman and all that shit. You know, so I was interested, Steve, like you were. We talked about it a lot. But I think I've had it with that golf side. I've had it with Rory McIlroy being some sort of fucking hero that they're saying he is. I like Rory, that he's outspoken and this and that and the other thing. And Rory makes a point. You got to be, you know what he's saying. I'm like, it doesn't do it for me anymore
because
they're pigs coming, you know, money wise. They're absolute pigs.
So you're less of a golf fan. Like if your golf fandom was a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10 before, where is it now?
Yeah, it's down. It's like down at 6, you know?
Wow.
It's down at 6. I'm like, you know, like the Schauffele thing was, well, the PGA is supposed to be a nonprofit thing. They have some sort of loophole there, but they're taking money. You know, they made 30 fucking million or whatever at the Ryder Cup. And right. So now this guy's come forward saying, well, I need a piece of that.
Right.
You know, and trying to, you know, I was like, I always go back to, you know, it makes players bigger than the game. And that's the problem with the money thing. Okay. And I just, even the NHL guys, Stevie, they will often say, you know, like him or not, Gary Bettman's done an unbelievable thing with hockey, with expansion. And we start another year. You just, you know, you talked about, was it Norris's contract, 64 million or something?
That's right.
Is that? Yeah. So, you know, it's time for all those guys to just stand back and shut up, man, about their little issues, Steve.
Right.
They're little issues that, you know, well, that the team's fractured, you know, the Ryder Cup team's fractured. That's why Patrick Cantlay, you know, he had a hard time. Are you kidding me? You know, and hockey players don't do it. They don't do that shit. So I'm looking forward to, you know what I mean, Steve? You've watched hockey your whole life. Those guys suit up and they shut up, you know?
Well, I find, yeah, and the hockey players, and I've always said that I buy into, I believe it was Ken Dryden's The Game. I believe Roy McGregor was in on that. Anyway, mm-hmm. That part of the reason these guys are the people they are is it's not a hardship. It's like, right. it's a thing though. It's like you're growing up in winter communities in Canada and you're driving for hours and hours having conversation with your dad. And that's part of why a lot of these guys are well-raised, because they do have so much time under the tutelage of their parents.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of why hockey players are as great as they are. And I mean, God, I don't know if there's a better example of it in the entire NHL. I mean, there probably is, but mm-hmm. the Sens are right up there as far as quality characters and being involved right. in the community. And like Brady Tkachuk, he's like a dream come true as far as a captain goes. Nobody's a bigger Daniel Alfredson fan than me, but by the time Brady Tkachuk is done, he will have surpassed the love that this city has for Daniel Alfredson. I believe that. That's the kind of character that he is, and he's right. just so good with everybody and down to earth. And so I totally agree with you. Hockey players are fantastic.
Look where it was, okay? Look where it was when Larry Robinson, for example. I love that guy. He's we've become friends over the years because we ended up at so many events together.
Yeah.
He's outspoken. He's good. He's great with the media. Great coach. He's got Stanley Cups, you know, up the yin yang. And when he first played, Steve, in the 70s, I think he might have come in 1971 or two.
That's right.
Right. He wasn't making enough money as a Montreal Canadian, right? Mm-hmm. He worked for the Department of Highways.
Yep.
Paving highways in the summer, right? So
that's a long time ago now.
Right. But would that be what would he be now? You know, that would be the equivalent, if no one did anything about hockey, that'd be the equivalent right now of making about $65,000 a year. You know?
Yeah.
As a hockey player. But they don't gripe. They don't, you know, the odd player does, you know, from the past, gripes about it. But it's they don't bicker, Stevie. They don't, you know, they had a holdout probably with a lot of them looking at each other going, seriously, dudes, we're holding out.
Yeah.
But out of all the players, Stevie, out of all the sports, I think the hockey players are the most grounded about how great the game is, and we gotta thank everybody who came before us.
God,
you know, player reps and the player union and Gary Bettman and all these guys who've, you know, make this unbelievable life.
Yeah.
Unbelievable life that they have. You know? So,
yeah. You look at a guy like Guy Lafleur, you know, same generation as Larry Robinson. I think his career earnings were something around, I want to say like $4 or $5 million.
Right.
And now rank and file NHL players make that in one season.
Yeah.
And file guys. There's a lot of really, if you look at Cap Friendly, and check out the salary list, there's going to be a lot of guys making this season what Guy Lafleur made in his entire career, and you will go, who is that guy? I've never even heard of that guy. And he's making Guy Lafleur money, career money? It's crazy.
Right, right. And the question is, why? Why and how are you making $4 million?
Well, inflation for one. And
right, but yeah, because you've had a bunch of setup men,
sure.
right? You've had a bunch of setup guys, right? And, you know, that's a great point, right? $4-5 million a year, and we're not sure who they are, you know?
Yeah.
We're not sure who they are. That's an unbelievable league. You know, that's an unbelievable league that if not for all the support and this drive from this commissioner, you guys are nowhere.
Right.
Right. And I think hockey players know that. That's my point. I think they know that. I don't, you know, baseball is just gross. Fuck the amount of money. It's just insane. You know, the NFL, the contracts are being signed. Basketball is, you know, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, if I ever hear LeBron James complain about anything, I'm going to snap, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to snap.
Certainly the players union is a big part of why things have turned around, just as a footnote to this, and that Brian Kilray was part of that in the early days with Allan Eagleson forming the players union. And as mm-hmm. we moved along, the big thing that happened in the late 1980s was salary disclosure. Suddenly, Jimmy, I know what your salary is and you know what mine is. And there's all kinds of comparison shopping all around the NHL. So that took it to another level. And the union has really dragged the players back into the discussion and then some with the kind of money they're making right now. Let's take our leave, James. A rough start to the show as far as technicalities go, but we got through it just fine. Once we got the hamster back on the internet wheel, we invite you.
I think the clue was when you said, Jimmy, can you hit the on button on your computer?
But you did it, though. You did it.
I did it.
Well done. Our website, stevewproject.com. Check that out anytime. Find out more about the show, about who we are, and you can contact us through that as well. So we look forward to talking to you once again next week. James, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you next time.
Happy Thanksgiving, Steve.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about Thanksgiving and turkey and stuff. Happy Thanksgiving.
I know. Because it's your favorite thing, WKRP. Favorite thing.
Let's leave the program with that.
And Stevie, yes. Before we go, though, because it's a celebration of kicking off the hockey season. Mm-hmm. What a lot of people don't remember, Steve, we talked about Larry Robinson, are his days with the Minnesota North Stars.
There it is. Yeah, you made Marcus, one of our great listeners, Marcus, very happy with that. No question. Yeah,
People forget, Steve. They forget. I'm here to remind.
I think for about 700 shows, I've asked you for final thoughts. The only way I can reliably get a final thought out of you is to not ask for a final thought. Huh? All right. Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see you.
Thanks for being with us on the SWP. Please subscribe today or support us on Patreon at stevewproject.com.